know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long. Be careful out there on the streets. I know they got some pretty wet avenues that you're traveling through, especially in the Bayou country and in the River Parish. So be careful out there on the highway this afternoon when you're either driving somewhere or coming back home. Charlie and I got a big show coming up at 4:20. A young man we got to interview at the Manning Passing Academy, Austin Simmons from Ole Miss. Haven't heard a lot about him because he was a backup to Jackson Dart from the Florida high school ranks. Had verbally committed to Florida, and Billy Napier decided, you know what, not going there. I'm going to go to Ole Miss and work on Lane Kiffin. The one thing is, you got to be one of the biggest quarterbacks Ole Miss has had since Eli Manning. I mean, he's a big dude. They list him at 6'4", and I think generously give it to him at 210. I think he's a little heavier than that. But lefty, southpaw, man, he can throw it. And the LSU sees him fairly early on the schedule, Charlie. But very impressive young man, 19 years old, won't turn 20 until November. He's already graduated from Ole Miss.
Whoa.
He's already got his degree.
Jeez. That's incredible. I mean, speaking with him, he's a really bright young kid. So that's not the most surprising thing in the world. But, Mike, you kind of talked about it. Just seeing him in person, standing right next to him, that is a big, big dude. 6'4", I believe that. On the
that I believe.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Maybe, you know, 215, 220 is probably what he looks like. But definitely the height there is, I don't think that Ole Miss is lying about him being 6'4", Mike.
Yeah, and I think the thing with him is going to be is you're going to have to go through some growing pains early on with him because he really has not seen a lot of action. But I got a feeling that he is going to be something once he starts to figure it out at the collegiate level. And he even talked about it. I know I've got a lot to learn. But he is a quick study guy, super smart. And, Archie got questioned when we were doing the interview with Archie Manning. People were like, Archie, you don't normally bring in somebody who's never been a starter. He was like, well, whose camp is this? It's mine. So I invited Austin, and I think he's going to be a really good football player for Ole Miss. So we'll have the interview with Austin Simmons at 4:35. My good friend Jen Hale will join us from Fox Sports, who covers the NFL and also the NBA. A lot of things going on with that. So we'll get Jen's take on what's happening with the Pelicans and also certainly about things happening in the NFL. But Charlie, looks as though finally the New York nightmare has finally ended. They've got a coach, and it's not who I would have thought, but it's Mike Brown. And I guess the best it's been checkered with Mike in different spots. Mike won big at Sacramento, and then it really tailed off. He got fired in December of last year. He has 4 rings as assistant coach, 1 with San Antonio, 3 with Golden State. And so my thing with this, I think Mike Brown's a really good coach. I wonder about the fit. You and I were talking about this off the air. I don't know how well – that's going to fit with a very impatient owner if things don't work out well early.
The funny thing is, though, Mike Brown was the NBA Coach of the Year just a couple of years ago when he got Sacramento to that 3 seed in the Western Conference, and they ultimately lost in the first round of the playoffs, that 7-game series to the Warriors. The guy can coach, Mike. I think it's actually, given the disaster that it was where they were just asking all these teams if they could interview their coaches for their head coaching vacancy, and they kept getting declined time after time again. I think it was like 5 different times. Settling on Mike Brown, there's worse coaches in the NBA that you could pick up than this guy, a multi-time NBA coach of the year. I agree with you about the fit because it's a Tom Thibodeau roster, and I know that their whole thing was that they had reached their ceiling in the Eastern Conference Finals with what Coach Tibbs could do I kind of disagree with them. I think that the whole thing with Mike Brown being fired from Sacramento, it's not really his fault that Sacramento fell off so quickly. It's really their team building and what they've done over the past couple of years to really blow up that roster. They became basically Chicago West, Mike, bringing in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and getting rid of De'Aaron Fox. And obviously the Tyrese Halliburton thing a few years back was part of it as well. The roster moves were kind of the reason that Sacramento had the quick fall off after they had that great year under Mike Brown. I don't think it was anything having to do with Mike Brown necessarily. That firing was always a little bit surprising to me. I hope him the most success in New York. However, the other flip side of it is that he's interested in the Pelicans' lead assistant, James Borrego, adding on to his staff in New York. But there's a bunch of different reports about that. Ian Begley, as I had mentioned in the Sports Flash from SNY, said that Mike Brown wants to bring in Borrego as the lead assistant in New York. But Mark Stein and Jake Fisher are both saying that New Orleans is complicating that because they want to keep Borrego on Willie Green's staff. So, first and foremost, congratulations to Mike Brown, but stay away from James Borrego and the Pelican staff, please.
Well, Charlie, if he goes to that and he feels as though that that's where he wants to be, I think for the Pelicans, hey, thanks so much, but we're going to let you go. And it's sort of a lateral move for him, basically,
yeah, right.
Going from the Pelicans to the Knicks and from as an assistant. But still, my thing about it is if you're not crazy about being here, and you want to go somewhere else, my thing is it's almost like in business. You better off saying, hey, listen, you've done a great job here. We appreciate everything you've done, coach. But if you want to move on to the Knicks, so be it. And then we'll find someone to take your place. And I think Borrego's a good assistant coach, really do. But if that's where he wants to be, my thing is it's like in any business. I think you got to cut him loose and let him get that opportunity. Also, so many rumors now going around and in every NBA circle about Jonathan Kuminga, the 22-year-old with the Golden State Warriors, missed a ton of time last year with an ankle injury. Charlie, I might be wrong about this, but I think he had that ankle injury early in January, and he missed like 30, 31 games. He was averaging over 15 points a game. I know last year was over 16, a little over 16 points a game. A young guy who was a first-round pick in 2021. I think he was the seventh overall pick that year,
right,
in 2021. my thing is, when so many people have the same sort of story, there's smoke and fire.
Right.
It's what you got to give up to get him.
And that's the issue, is what is the price tag of going out and getting a Jonathan Kuminga? I don't think it's been any secret that Kuminga in Golden State long-term probably isn't going to work out. There's been multiple teams that have been connected with him. The Pelicans are one of the latest teams, obviously. But to do a sign-and-trade with Kuminga, you have to be committing to him a little bit more long-term. And then you'd also likely have to be giving up one of your star forwards in a Trey Murphy or a Herb Jones and moving on from one of those two to bring Kuminga in. And I just think that might be a little bit of a tough pill to swallow. If you can somehow manage to get Kuminga without either one of those pieces, now we're talking. But Kuminga's a fascinating player, Mike. As you had mentioned, he came through the G League Ignite program, and he was the seventh overall pick back in 2021. He was kind of noted for having this unbelievable jump through the building athleticism, right, as a forward. Kind of a tweener between the four and the five. He's 6'7", 225. And he's an interesting player. Like, as you also had kind of said, he had the ankle injury this past year, so he missed a bunch of time. But when he's been on the floor, he's been a little bit more productive in recent years. From the start of his career, at least, he's made a little bit of a jump from 2023 and 2024 and 2024 and 2025. He's still a very, very young piece. I can understand the fascination with him. My only question really is, what is the price tag of going out and getting a Jonathan Kuminga? Because if it's one of Herb Jones or Trey Murphy, which I suspect it would be, that's a little bit more of a hard sell.
Charlie, we've seen Joe Dumars in what most people might think would be overpay for a player. He's done it. If he wants that guy, it's same thing with Queen. You know, that's who he wanted, and he was going to give up and would potentially could be the first overall pick or top five pick or 10 pick. The one thing with Dumars, he's not waiting. This sort of reminds me a little bit. I grew up in the 70s. George Allen did this with the old Washington Redskins. It's not over the hill gang because these guys are all still pretty young with the exception of Kayvon Looney. But this will be Golden State South with Poole, with Looney, and if they can cut a deal to get Kuminga. But we've seen it, Charlie, that for Joe Dumars, I don't owe anything to any player right. on this team with the exception of one. I think Zion. That's the one exception to the rule here with him. I think that he wants to put his stamp and feel as though I got to win now. And whatever it's going to take to win now, and it may be, as some people may dislike, but an overpay for a certain player.
And with Kuminga, once again, the contract is the interesting part of this. If they yeah. do, in fact, make that swing, is what kind of money is Jonathan Kuminga going to demand? I've heard reports that he's been in contact, or that Dumars has been in contact with Kuminga's agents and stuff like that. So something could be on the horizon. At the very least, he's just kind of poking around and just getting a gauge of what it could potentially cost, not only to just do the trade, sign and trade for Jonathan Kuminga, but what he's going to demand in a sign and trade as far as the contract goes. So
yeah,
we're going to keep an eye on it, send any updates if anything comes. But it's definitely fascinating that the Pelicans, and Scoop B was one of the first ones with this, saying that the Pelicans are definitely interested in Jonathan Kuminga. Once again, a very, very athletic young forward, former 7th overall pick of the 2021 draft, still only 22 years old, Mike, and someone that obviously Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver maybe like the ceiling of this kid.
All I know is Scoop B had it, and he had it first, and everybody has stole it. Because,
right.
man, everybody's run with it since. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll be talking to Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. Before we go to our interview with Austin Simmons, we had a couple texts about Asante Samuel Jr. and why he hasn't been signed yet. That has to do with health. Remember, he had a back injury that he had surgery on. So any team that's going to sign him, they want their doctors, hey, two thumbs up. He's fine, ready to go. So I think when they, whoever gives that two thumbs up and he's ready to roll, Asante Samuel's not going to be on the market long. And he may already have a deal in place just waiting to get that clearance from the doctors. But remember, he had underwent back surgery. And so now I think that's the reason he has not signed with any team. And we all know the connection, certainly with the Saints, with the defensive coordinator. And so there's a connection there. But to answer the question, this all has to do with Asante Samuel's back injury that he had surgery on. Once he gets cleared, then I think you're going to see the market open up pretty big, because when you talk about a starting cornerback in the NFL, those guys, they just not hanging along the side of the road with their hands up in the air. So Samuel's going to get some look, but he has to clear the medical part first. Let's go to our interview with Ole Miss quarterback Austin Simmons, his first year now, setting in as a starter for the Rebels. Mike Dettey with Austin Simmons, the new starting quarterback at Ole Miss. How's that feel, Austin?
Feels great. You know, really like waiting my turn. Just going into year three, you know, it feels great to like really step in that spotlight.
I asked Jackson Dart, everybody that's worked, you know, for Coach Kiffin, how it is to work under him. He's a unique personality as far as the game's concerned.
He's one of one, I'll tell you that right now. He's like very unique. The way he approaches things, you know, the way he lives his whole lifestyle, the man like does hot yoga every single day. You don't really see that often from any coach, so it was just fun to be around.
How was it this offseason? Okay, you're the guy, you're the starting quarterback and working with your receivers. It's just about basically getting rapport and timing, correct?
Yeah, really just, you know, just having everyone adjust like to the playbook. We have a whole lot of transfers. Just really getting used to all of them, you know, building chemistry throughout the offseason and really just seeing how well they can produce and just see who's going to be my dog.
Okay, I still don't see how y'all lost to LSU in Baton Rouge this year. Man, you had
it all the way up into the end, and bang, it sort of let loose. But that was the season, no matter what, it was, you won a bunch of games, but it almost comes out like a disappointment, correct?
I don't know, like, things happen in SEC play, I'll tell you that right now. Like the quote says, everything means more. And really, like, just, you have to approach every single game like you're going to lose. So I think we're going to do better at that this year, really just approach, like, we're not going to take anything for granted against any type of team we play.
One thing with Coach Kiffin, people don't give him a lot of credit, but he does love to run the football. And that's the quarterback's best friend when you can run the ball.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a big plus for you. Who's going to be kind of targeting your rushing game this year? Or is it going to be by committee?
Like what, running back?
At running back, yeah.
I think all of them are, like, pretty valuable targets, you know, like, when it comes to the run game. Yeah, we have a great running back room, you know, Coach Smith, you know, he's a great running back coach, I'll tell you that right now. And he puts everyone in the right position, you know, especially with Coach Weiss calling the right plays and the right gap schemes. So I think we're going to shine this year.
If that was a guy in the spring that really took that leap forward, who would you say that is?
To be honest with you, just to wait and find out.
So you're not gonna give us any inside information, right?
No, sir.
I got you. Defensively, you guys did have a lot of people go on to the NFL, and that's always impressive when you have that. So that's a big part of the SEC. You got to play defense.
No,
but
you do.
To me, running game, stop the run.
Yes, sir.
That's the key factor.
It's winning the trenches.
Yep.
Yes, sir. No, I feel very confident in our defense, especially with Coach Golding. You know, he's gonna put everyone in the right position, especially like with the whole like communication thing. If you see something, he's gonna tell them right away. You know. And really, like, just, I believe in our defense. Honestly, we go up against them every single day. They compete at a high level. We're going to shine this year.
Goal is to get to the playoffs, right?
That's right.
That's the main thing. Because once you get there, you know, then you never know. Look what happened with Ohio State. They lose that last game to Michigan, and then they caught the buzzsaw, and they buzzed everybody after
that. Yes, sir.
So that's the goal for Ole Miss.
The goal is to win a national championship. That's always been the goal. Yes, sir.
So appreciate it. Best of luck to you this year.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Howdy, howdy.
That was Austin Simmons, the quarterback for Ole Miss. Southpaw, oh, and he's a big guy. And I suspect that Jackson Dart did run with the ball some, and some designated runs for Dart. But Charlie, taking a look at him, at Austin Simmons, I got a feeling you got a lot more designated runs with Austin, who's a terrific athlete. But, how he gets off start-wise, I think is going to be critical for him, because you can see he's got a lot of confidence in his game. He trusts the people around him, but he really trusts Lane Kiffin.
And he's so young, Mike. He's 19 years old. It's going to be his first time starting at the college level. And even though you can hear him talking, he's a bright kid, you're going to be under the lights, and we'll see what he can do. As you mentioned, though, in that interview, that the best help for a young quarterback is a good run game. And we know what Lane Kiffin likes to do, Mike.
Yeah, and you see it at Ole Miss. You saw it at Tennessee, too. They're noted for throwing the football with Josh Heupel, just like with Lane at Ole Miss. But they run the ball really, really well.
Right.
And I think that is going to really help Austin out if they can get that running game going and going early. And they got an early game against LSU. Normally this would be, you know, Halloween week or all that stuff because of the lure. Not that way anymore. Much earlier in the schedule for LSU and Ole Miss. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Jen Hale from Fox Sports to talk NBA and NFL right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Fox Sports, she covers the NFL, also the NBA, Jen Hale. Jen, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. I love coming on with you.
Thanks so much, Jen. You and I have had, let's just say, than a few conversations throughout the years. But, boy, you hit the tail on this one. You pinned the donkey when you made the comment, Joe Dumars will make a very quick impact on this basketball team with the Pelicans. The last time we had you on, and has he. Now, if all of them work out, well, remains to be seen. But you were dead on right about Dumars. He wasn't going to wait around, and this wasn't, well, I will take a look and see what I got. He's making moves, and I think there's still some moves to be made.
No doubt about it, Mike. He is wasting no time putting his stamp on this team. He came in guns blazing. That's just his personality. That's who he is, and he was ready to, quote-unquote, right the wrongs. The trades and the picks, let's start with the picks. I like the talent. I like Queen and Fears. My question is the fit, and especially for Queen, was he worth next year's first-round draft pick? Because next year's draft is really good, really deep. So it remains to be seen how this all pays off, how this all works out. Again, I'm concerned about the fit for both of those players. I guess with DeJounte Murray out, at least to start the season, Fears is certainly going to have more opportunity. But after that, it seems like you got a really heavy front court, and then you got a lot of competition at guard, especially with bringing Jordan Poole in. So there is going to be a lot to unpack for the Pelicans, a lot to see how it all sorts out once the season tips off. And how exciting, you know, we've got the preseason schedule now, and we've got the summer league schedule. It's going to be something to watch for sure.
Jen, this is almost becoming Golden State South. Okay, they signed Kevon Looney. They get Jordan Poole. You covered the league, and you understand with Looney, he's being brought in sort of as the number two center. We know that, you know, Mise has that title. He's the guy. But to give some quality minutes off the bench, to be that leader, and you've talked so much about the leadership that C.J. McCollum had on this team that's now gone, and who becomes that leader? Who becomes the guy here on the court and off the court for him? And also with Jordan Poole, who at times is flashing. Now, when you're with the Wizards, things ain't going real well there. So no. You understand why he struggled some early on. But your thoughts on Poole and Looney and having a little bit of that Golden State aura sort of with them hitting New Orleans?
Well, you can't beat that, right? It's undeniable what Steve Kerr has done out there. It's fantastic. That championship mindset, that championship tradition, that not quitting, that grit. Yes, it's a crowded front court now, but I love the Kevon Looney pickup signing for several reasons. Three-time NBA champion. That's a pedigree very few teams can claim they have. And he's also a guy, Mike, Charlie, he's started. He has played from the bench. He has no ego. He's a total team player. He's going to do what it takes. He averages about 5 minutes in the regular season, but 11 minutes in the playoffs, in the postseason. So I love that he has that postseason experience and that postseason, it's the moment's not too big for him, right? He's a proven performer in those clutch performances. He'll do your dirty work. He'll clean up around the rim. He's going to be a tone setter for this locker room, and it's exactly what they need. And I love that that's the direction Dumars is going, as opposed to, let's say, a Lakers-type mentality or locker room. I think Poole and Looney are going to do a great job raising these young ones right, so to speak, setting a good tone for them. And I think that Looney is going to be a great safety net as well, because, like I said, he does have starting experience. He can step in and for a few games get you through here and there. And hopefully that'll give Queen plenty of time to develop why Mise carries the load this year and builds off that really promising rookie season.
Jen, I really didn't understand the negativity from a lot of national media about the Kevon Looney signing. It's $8 million average annual value for 2 years, and it's a rotational piece. And I want to get your thoughts, because now we have the official news that DeAndre Ayton signed with the Lakers. Shams Charania put that out there. Last night there was the reports that they were calling and asking about Yves Mise from the Pelicans. And Steve and I were joking, like, if Joe gets that call, just hang up the phone with Rob Pelinka. We don't want to lose Yves Mise after that incredible rookie campaign that he had And as I had mentioned with Kevon Looney, just being a rotational piece, because you know what you have in Misi. You hit a slam dunk with that last year with the 21st overall pick and what he was able to contribute in his rookie year. And really the ceiling for him, like moving forward, you're just expecting continued development from a very bright young kid that's already shown that he can play at the NBA level.
Well, that's why there's interest in him. Absolutely. I think the Looney pickup drew some question marks, some raised eyebrows. One, it was kind of the last money the Pelicans had. Now they're hitting the cap. So this is probably going to certainly not hamstring them, but this is their last big expenditure, I would think, for right now. And then secondly, because of the Derek Queen trade, I think a lot of people were saying, if you were going to go sign Kevon Looney, why did you give away next year's first-round draft pick? Why did you trade up to get Queen? I think that's where the pause comes in, because Looney, obviously, we just talked about all of his accolades. And look, he's been in the league 10 years, 29 years old. He still has a lot of gas in that tank, so to speak. And he's a guy who takes care of his body, does things the right way, will play a long time. I don't think it's necessarily a fit thing or anything against Kevon Looney. I think it's just, if the Queen trade hadn't happened on draft night, if the Pelicans hadn't moved up and given that first rounder next year to the Hawks, I think the Kevon Looney signing would have been much more celebrated by critics across the country.
Jen, I think bottom line is, and how things fit, because I think smart players, they understand how to work as a team together quickly. And so fit is always going to be a question. But I think if you bring in smart players, I think they can adjust. This season boils down to one thing in particular. Got to keep Zion healthy. Because we've seen it when he is healthy, how good this Pelicans team is. And they got a lot of people, well, it's a team game. Okay, we're not playing golf or tennis here. Okay, everything else is a team game, but it's a difference when he's out on the court. That would be like me saying, oh, the Chiefs, they're the same without Patrick Mahomes. Come on, be real. That's not the case. This all boils down to Zion taking care of his body better and being able to stay in shape and focus for the entire year.
No doubt about it, and let's hope – certainly that Dumars can do a better job keeping Zion focused than David Griffin. Under the Griffin regime, Zion pretty much had free reign, carte blanche to do what he wanted. We saw that with skipping shoot-arounds, showing up to the arena, you know, 20 minutes before the game starts, not doing the team warm-ups with his teammates. Dumars is at least saying he's not going to put up with that. Zion needs to make different decisions. He will make different decisions. It's tough to put a genie back in the bottle, so we'll see how that goes. How does he respond? I do think there is a decent chance Zion responds well, because I don't think he's a – I still refer to him as a kid, and I shouldn't. He's so grown up now. But he's not a diva type of man necessarily. But I think if you give him too much leash, he'll take it type of a thing. So can Dumars pull that back a little and keep him focused and in the right mindset? And then, Mike, to your point about fit, I'm very curious to see how, you know, can Zion and Queen, can they share the floor at all together? Because neither one are really great perimeter shooters. In general, we haven't seen a ton of defense from Zion protecting the paint. Will Queen be able to rise to that occasion? I think that's also some of the pause that folks nationally are looking at, is how would these two ever work together? And will Queen be ready to come in and relieve Zion at all anytime soon?
Jen, anybody who's had kids or grandkids know, if you give them a long enough leash, they're going to take it. Every exactly. link of it. And so, yeah, you get it, that even though they may not be a bad kid, they're going to push you to the limit on what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. So it'll be an interesting situation with the kind of dichotomy between Joe Dumars. He was all business when he played, all business, 24/7. I'll throw this to the NFL. So many people, looking at the AFC, it's sort of wide open. because of the fact, you know, you have Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. You wonder, if, you know, is this going to be their year? The Chiefs, certainly with Mahomes, are always going to be there. Buffalo, Josh Allen, and that defense, they're going to be in the hunt also. But in the NFC, very few people take a look at this and say, I see a team out there that's really as good as the Eagles. You maybe thought the Lions were, and then they lose. They're both offensive, defensive coordinator, and then you lose your starting center in Frank Ragnow, who was really, really good. He was one of the best centers in pro football. Rams player for player, it's not a series, so you could beat them in a one-game type situation. You almost did in that snow out in Philly. But the Eagles seem to me to be the clear cut in the NFC. You can't say that in the AFC because there's a wide range of opinions on exactly kind of how that's going to kind of curtail itself with so many people kind of different sided on Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore.
I think you're absolutely right, Mike. My caveat, my asterisk to that would be I want to see what the 49ers look like this year. They were so decimated by injuries last year. If there's somebody that can right the ship and really give the Eagles a run for their money, that's where my betting chips would be. Christian McCaffrey says he's going to be back better than ever. And if any player can do it, it's Christian McCaffrey. Usually running backs at that age, that type of injury, they're going to be on the downhill slide. But CMC could be one who overcomes that. I love Kyle Shanahan's mind, his brain, his scheme. And, of course, you know, I'm a huge fan of John Lynch after working with him as a broadcast partner. So I certainly think the Eagles start in the driver's seat, doesn't the reigning Super Bowl champion usually. But I'm curious to see what the 49ers look like when they come out. And, look, as far as the Lions go, yeah, that Ragnow injury and absence is going to be a huge hurdle for them to overcome. But Dan Campbell has done it time and again, and he loves nothing more than that underdog role that, you know, we're being disrespected. That's how he motivates his team, his emotion. So although obviously he's not happy about what happened with Ragnow, he's a coach who can use it to his benefit with his team.
Jen, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you, there's reports that the Pelicans are interested in Golden State forward Jonathan Kuminga. Goes back to what Mike was saying earlier about Golden State South with already Jordan Poole and Kevon Looney in hand. And I want to get your thoughts on it because I think it's fascinating for a couple different reasons. It would have to be a sign and trade, you know, the contract that he would have to get extended in New Orleans if they do pull off that move. Your thoughts first on the interest in Jonathan Kuminga and then what it would potentially cost to do a sign and trade.
That would be the problem. Like I said, with the Looney signing, they don't have much more wiggle room financially. I would love a Kuminga-type presence in New Orleans simply because, again, reinforcing that championship culture, reinforcing that discipline. I don't think Zion is going to be that locker room leader, but I do think he will follow where everybody's going. And a Kuminga, a Looney, a Poole, they're going to set a tone of, hey, we're going to be in here early. We're going to work out. We're going to do this right. And I think Zion would get excited and get behind that. I worry a little bit about is Dumars leveraging way too much of the future. He's almost, to me, in a win now type mindset. And he's got some time, right? He's brand new. It was an abysmal season, potentially the worst season the Pels have ever had, depending on what metric you'd like to point to. I just hope that it's not an overreaction and an overcommittal of resources right away, an overreaching effect, because he does have a little bit of time. Although certainly you want to come in with a bang. You want to debut a superior product as soon as you can. But I hope he doesn't press too hard, spend too much, commit too much down the road. We've seen what that's doing to the Saints right now, how they're trying to come out of their kicking the can down the road situation. And it's tough. It's tough. That's for sure. So what can you get Kuminga for? I would be very interested. If you can get him for a decent amount, you know, he only played in 47 games last year. So I don't know that I would be all my chips in type of a thing. On him. However, the 47 he did play, and boy, he stepped up for Steph when Steph was out and injured. So if the price is right, absolutely do it. But don't leverage too much of your future because, boy, you've invested a lot of future capital already for this season coming up.
Jen, I'll let you go, but I'll throw this in. If you get NFC North games this year, you're in good shape because I have not.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great then. I have not seen this sort of tanglement of talent that is all real close and very good. You got to go back to the 80s, you know, when Dallas with Jimmy Johnson, the Eagles had Buddy Ryan and that group. And the Giants with Bill Parcells, they were really, really tough. And you look at the NFC North, and you see what's happened in Detroit and how well Minnesota played last year. Now you got a young quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. Green Bay is a sort of a sleeper team that I think is loaded, and they could well be that one team that makes that run late, and then the Bears. How well Caleb Williams can come around. We have not seen this since, 80s, 90s. Joe Gibbs was in Washington at that time, too. So the accumulation of talent in one division, we haven't seen that in a long time like we're seeing it in the North.
I agree. If I had to point to something, it would be that NFC West, 8 years ago when you had the strength of the 49ers, the Rams, the Seahawks. The NFC North is so much fun. The black and blue division, the rivalries are so intense, and you've got so many great storylines as well. I like what Caleb Williams is doing. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things, supposedly, in this year two under Ben Johnson. How much success can they actually have when the pads go on and you're going up against other people? At my first preseason game, I'll actually have the Lions.
Oh,
so
okay.
Always enjoy watching Dan Campbell and seeing what he can produce. So I will report back on the NFC North. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Jen. I appreciate it. Always great insights. So appreciate you coming on with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Always a blast.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it. Jen Hale from Fox Sports covering both the NFL and the NBA. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. A little after 5:20, Jeff Duncan, who covers all sports in the state of Louisiana, will be on with us talking Saints, Pelicans, LSU Tigers. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.